The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas Ki Tsetse. In this week's parsha, we find in Perichov Beis Posuk Yud Gimel the dinim of Motzi Shemra. That's the case where someone slanders a young maiden which he married to say that she had an illicit affair, and the Torah tells us the appropriate dinim, the appropriate laws. Then we have further in the Sedra, and this is in Chov Dalet Ches. Yishoma Benega Hatzoras. Be careful with the leprosy. Lishma Mi'ad Belasis. You have to do with it what the Torah prescribed. Kachola Sheyeru Eschem Akanim Alavim. Whatever the Kahanim and the Levim tell you to do, Kashet Sivisim, like they were commanded. Tishmur Olaseish, you shall go to do. Zochor Eis Asher, Osa Hashem Elekecha L'Miriam. Be careful. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. Baderech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim, when you went out of Eretz Mitzrayim, from Egypt. What does it mean? Be careful. In Bos Lo Hoser Dizoya Shalei Tiloke Betzaras, Rashi says, if you want to be careful that a leprosy should not come upon you, Al Tisaper Loshon Hara. Do not speak Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara is when you speak badly, slanderous speech about another person, degradingly, negatively. Because Zohar Asu Lamiriam Shadibra Bachia Beloksa Benagoyim. She spoke like this towards her brother, Moshe, and she was stricken with this leprosy. And then, so we have in this parsha twice, Metzi Shemra, the one who slanders the young maiden which he has just married, and you should remember what Miriam did in order to be careful from Lashon Hara. Then we have in last week's parsha, Parsha Shaftim, Perek Yutes, Posuk Tes Vov, a single witness shall not stand up in the courts to testify against the person lechol oven, and so on. For the Torah indicates what he cannot testify against. The Gemara im sochim daf kufyut gimel amid beis says that if he does, it's Lashon Hara. It's slanderous language, because when you go to court, you testify against a person that is Lashon Hara. That is, you are testifying, you're saying that he did something bad. If you're testifying on behalf of the plaintiff, so then he's accusing the person who's on trial for doing something wrong, whether it's an aveira or whether it has to do with mominus, dine mominus, a litigation, a financial litigation. And if you testify as a witness on behalf of that person, so then you definitely are speaking Lashon Hara about the person. However, there the Torah permitted it. Not only did the Torah permit it, it commanded you to do so, because you're trying to right a wrong. Reuben says that Shimon stole from me. Will you come to court and testify on my behalf? He stole a million dollars from me. And the person says, I'm sorry, I'm a Frumma Jew, I don't say Lashon Hara. There, a crime was committed. So not only did the Torah permit it, but it commanded you. It's an aveira to withhold testimony. But that's where that would be in the case where the judges can do something from your testimony. If the law requires two witnesses, then there has to be two witnesses. And in that case, the Gemara says, if one witness will come and say what he did, that'll be the Aveda of Lashon Hara. Because nothing can, the judges are not allowed to listen to a single witness. So nothing can be done anyhow. So it just remains what the Gemara calls Lishna Bisha, Lashon Hara, and that person will be punished for saying Lashon Hara. The permission and the commandment that the Torah gave was to right a wrong. But if, with your testimony, with your speech, you cannot right the wrong, then it's Lashon Hara. This is what the Gemara tells us in Psochim, in Masechet Psochim, and of Kuf Yud Gimel Lamed Beis. So last week also we had commandments, mitzvahs, which related to this din of Lashon Hara. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Deos, explains to us that there are four categories, four legal categories that have to do with Lashon Hara. He says as follows, Amaragel bechaveirei, eve beleisase, shenema leiselech rochel bamecho. The Rambam is quoting now a posuk from Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Kedoshim, under Perek Yutes, posuk Tes Zayin, the Torah tells us, "You shall not be a rochel in your nation." What does that mean? What is a rochel? And a rochel generally means a peddler, a salesman, one, a person that goes and sells his goods. Rashi tells us, I'm just looking for it here. Excuse me. Can't I find it here? Rashi tells us that Hashem shekol mishalchei medonim u'mesaper Lashon Hara holchin bebotei re'ehem leragel ma yiru ra o ma yishmo'u ra lesaper bishuk. Therefore nikraim holchei rochel. We'll elaborate on this a little later in the shiur. But a holech rochel is a category of Lashon Hara, but it's not Lashon Hara. It's rather tale-bearing. This means that if you carry information from one person to the other, even though that information is not slanderous, and that information is not degrading, and it's not speaking badly about that person, therefore it's not Lashon Hara, but if it's insightful, it will incite machlekes. This is what Rechilas is. In other words, you go to shul, you come home, and they ask you, what happened in shul today? So you say, well, so-and-so said this, or so-and-so, or the rabbi did this, and even though it's not degrading, but it is known that such a thing will cause anger to the person that you're saying this to. It'll make machlekes. This is rechilus. Rambam says this is a category of Lashon Hara. As I mentioned, we will elaborate on this more in a few minutes. So the Rambam says, Amaragel bechaveirai, eve beleisase. It's a negative commandment. As it states, lo selech rochel ba'amecha. V'afo pishen leikin al davarzeh. And even though there's no corporal punishment because there's no physical act in it, dibur, speech, is not a physical act which brings upon a person a corporal punishment. Oven godelhu v'gerim larig nefoshes rabbeis b'Yisrael. It's a very, very great avera. And this can cause the death of many, many people in Israel. Therefore, immediately after it states for leiselik rochidl in the Torah there in Kedoshim, it states leisamer, you shall not stand by and see the blood of your fellow man be shed. Go and learn from the episode of Doag Ho'adomi, which we will elaborate on in a few minutes. Ezehu Rochel, what is this Rochel? Says Shetain Dvorim, he carries words, Vahelik Mizelezeh, and he goes one from the other to the other. And he says, this is what so and so said on you. This is what I heard from so and so. Alpha Pishu Emes, even though it's true, many people will justify themselves. They'll justify themselves by saying, but it's true. Hareza Mahri Veso Olam. Nevertheless, this destroys the world. Yesh Oven Godel Mi Od. Now the Rambam brings a second category. There's an Aveda which is greater than this Ad Mi Od. Bu Bechlau Lavze. And it has to do with this negative commandment. Bu Loshen Hora. This is Loshen Hora. What is that? This is where you speak degradingly or negatively, slanderously about your chaver, and even though it's true, many people will say, but it's true. No, there's no justification. This is the second category. Third category, what happens if what you say about the other person is not true? Then it's not only Loshon Hara, but it's Meitzi Shemra Achaveire. It is untrue slander. And that's what we had in last week's Parsha. That's the third category. What's the fourth category? The Rambam writes of a Baal Loshon Hara. It's the fourth category of a Baal Loshon Hara. What is that? Zashi Yeshe Ve'ema. This is a person who always does this. This is what I heard that person, this is what I saw that person do. His fathers were not very good Jews, or he spent his time in prison. This is what I heard on him, and the Dvorim Shel Ganai, it's degrading. Al zeh omar hakosuv, yikoreis Hashem kol sifsei halokeis loshen medaberes gedulais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cut them off from the nation. That's the Baal Loshen Hara. What is Rambam telling us? It says, in this category of Loshen Hara, there are four different groups. Now, we mentioned in this week's Parsha, we have the Meitzi Shemra, the one who lies about the status of the maiden that he married. And we have, you should remember, Miriam. That was, she spoke degradingly, it was true, but she spoke degradingly about her brother Moshe. Last week's Parsha, also we had Leyokum, where a single witness wants to testify against someone. And the courts cannot accept it, because they need two. And it ends up that he is just saying Loshon Hara. That's again speaking degradingly. Then we had in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo Seilech Rochel, that you should not be a peddler, to peddle one to the other. That is not Loshon Hara like the first three cases. That is Rechilus. Rechilus is where you peddle information from one to the other that will incite Midonim. Midoni means hatred between brothers. You say, this is what he said about you, even though that's not degrading, or this is what he did, or this is what he thinks about you, or so and so did this. That's the Rochel, that's the peddler. So these are the four, these are three we mentioned. The one who speaks Loshon Hara, which is true. The one who lies, that's Meitzi Shemra. And the Rechilus and the peddler. What's the fourth? Fourth, the Rambam calls Baal Loshon Hara. Baal Loshon Hara is someone who does it all of the time. Not just happens to do it. But this is That's his vocation. Unfortunately, we have people like that. That they love to talk, they get together, socialize. Feel it's a great mitzvah to socialize. So they socialize. What do they talk about? If you're always socializing, what's there so much to talk about? There's only so much you can talk about the cricket, or the soccer. It's boring after a while. The politics, we already spoke about the politics. So they talk about other people. That becomes the major topic. And they try to find bad things to say about other people. Or they sit on the telephone and talk for a half an hour, now with cell phones, and so on. That, the Rambam says, that's a Baal Loshon Hara. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want him in my nation. And he cuts him off from the nation. Now the Rambam goes further and says, Omru HaChomim, Shleish Averis Nifraim Min Odom Be'ilam Azeh. Three Averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, demands retribution from the person in this world. He has no portion in the world to come. And that's idolatry, adultery and incest, and the spilling of innocent blood. What can be greater than these three averus? Idolatry. Or says someone who does idolatry, that's kilo kofa b'cholat herakulam. That's undermining the entire, pulling the carpet out of the entire Torah, because we have 613 mitzvahs there, but they're only mitzvahs if you believe in a matzavah, that there's a king that gave them. If you don't believe in the king, then there are no mitzvahs. Incest and adultery, we know what that is. And murder, the spilling of innocent blood. What can be worse than these three? Each one. Loshon Hara keneged kulam. Loshon Hara, especially that's the one who sits all of the time and talks, that equals all three. The Rambam elaborates, but we're not going to go into all of this tonight. We've spoken in many facets in the past. Then the Rambam adds, "V'makabla yesha min ha'emre." He who listens to the Loshon Hara, he is as guilty and more guilty than the one who says it. When we say listen, that means he accepts it. That's why if a person is speaking Loshon Hara, you should run away. Mordechai tells us, more than the Rambam, you must be careful who your friends are. It's dangerous. When you have people that are these type of people, you must not associate with them. And if you happen to be sitting at such a table, well, you should try to get out of it. Many times people are sitting at a social function and the topic moves to an individual and you have Loshon Hara. A makabla is yesemina emre, is more than the one who says. Kol elu hem balei loshon hara. These balei loshon hara also lodor bishchenosom. You're not allowed to live in their neighborhoods. You go to a shul and there's a lot of loshon hara. Choose another shul. Kol shkein leishev imohem, and certainly to sit with them. Lishmaya divrehem, to listen to what they're saying. Balei nechtam gzad din al avesenu bamidbar ela loshon hara levad. And as we know, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you've pushed me, you've tested me 10 times when I took you out of Egypt. In other words, 10 times you rebelled against me, you gave me a difficult time. On each one, I'm willing to give up, to close my eyes to, but not the 10th one. And that's when they slandered Eretz Yisrael. And they slandered HaKodesh Baruch Hu. But they slandered Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it wasn't because they slandered Eretz Yisrael. Moses says slandering a person is worse than slandering Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is stones and wood, the Gemara says. Slandering the person is worse. Now, as we can see from here, the great avera, transgression, that the Torah views Lashon Hara, any of these facets. And just to, we know this, so we will not go into it at length, but just to make mention of a few points on that. The chait of the Nochesh HaKadmoni, the avera of the first serpent, was Lashon Hara. He came and he told Chava, why can't you eat from the fruit of this tree? And she said, because this is what God commanded. He said, God ate from this tree and it gave him the knowledge to create the world. That's why he told you not to eat, because he will be jealous of another God. If you eat, you'll be as great as him. He came with Lashon Hara. What was the result? He brought death to the world forever. Death to the world forever. We all dance. We do a tango with the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death. We are constantly under the sword of the angel of death. We try to stay out of reach. And in the end, he reaches everyone. And when he does, this creates a churban. The loss of a person, the loss of a father, the loss of a mother, the loss of a husband, the loss of a wife, creates widows, orphans, churbanos. That wasn't the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant the world to be. Death was not part of the world that he created. That was the result of Lashon Hara. Second case, what the Rambam mentioned, because the Meraglim, the spies, slandered Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will not go into Eretz Yisrael. They were going to go immediately into Eretz Yisrael from Har Sinai, 3 days. You will not. You will wander in the desert until this whole generation has died off. Your children that you said would be consumed in the desert, they will go in. And Tisha B'Av came from there, because that was the day of Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av remains with us all of the time. First Beis HaMikdash and the first exile. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the second, the exile we're in now, and all of the pogroms and the Holocaust that came because of Lashon Hara. Third case. Mara says that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gimel Chamurah, the three serious Averas. Averizora, Gilaraisu Shvichizlomi. Idolatry, adultery and incest, and the spilling of innocent blood. We went into exile for 70 years. After 70 years, we were returned to Eretz Yisrael and our Beis HaMikdash. By Sheni, second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, hatred. Faribel, hatred. Infighting, not with Goyim, infighting in Israel. The fragmentation of Israel. The splitting of the Achdus, of the unity of Israel. And the Chofetz Chaim writes from the Yishalmi says it was basically, it became exaggerated, exasperated through Lashon Hara. What was the outcome? We went into Golus for 2,000 years and we're still in Golus. And the Gemara says, from there we see that it's equal to the three Chamuras. Another example. The Vilna Gaon, when he's writing to his family because he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael. The trip was aborted, but he had hoped that he would go to Eretz Yisrael and then bring his family, but he didn't know how long it would take to be reunited. And he was writing to his family, and he was instructing them how to behave when he's not there. So he keeps coming back, be careful what you speak about. Teach the children how to talk. Don't allow them to speak Lashon Hara. He was telling them don't socialize too much because it comes to Lashon Hara if it's just empty social events. And then he writes, Ki achet haloshen al kulai. The avera of the tongue is the worst. Umali laharich b'zeh ha'oven hachomer mikol ha'aviris. He says, why do I have to elaborate? This was the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. He's not talking about learning Torah. He's not talking about tzitzis. He's not talking about matzah. He's not talking about kashrus. He's not talking about hidurim. He says, Mali laharich. Why must I elaborate? Oven on this avera, simple talking, loshen hora, hachomer mikol ha'averos. That is more severe than all of the averos in the Torah. Then he writes, he says, the reward is also more. The person feels that he, conversation about someone, and now he can say something that will give a good stab to a person. And he keeps his mouth closed. He exercises that self-control, that discipline, that strength, and he keeps his mouth closed. He says, for that, for every minute, he'll be zeicher to a light in the next world that ain't called Malachu Beria, that there is no angel or creature that has ever seen that wonderful light. The Chofetz Chaim, who dedicated his life to this, and he wrote a great sefer on this, which is full of a quarter of Shas. He says that the reason why Lashon Hara is so severe, I mean, one of the reasons, a contributing factor, is because when one speaks Lashon Hara, he transgresses, or he can transgress, almost every avera in the Torah, bein adam lechavera, between man and his fellow man. And he calculates where there's the possibility when one speaks Lashon Hara, you can transgress 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and bring yourself within three curses. Like it states, Orur makis esreihu besefer. Cursed is the person who strikes out against his friend secretly. Now this is something to think about, because this is why the real tzaddikim were so careful. They say a person has to be far more careful what comes out of his mouth than what goes into his mouth. If you have a bacon sandwich, maybe we could get together one or two averas in the Torah. Maybe three, I don't know. Here he says 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments. That's 31 averas and three curses. And every time he speaks to Lashon Hara. Tosfos says, that's if you speak about the person behind his back. But what happens if you speak about a person and he's here and you cause him public embarrassment, or you write it in a newspaper and you cause him public embarrassment? That itself, the Gemara says, ein lechelek leilam haba. He loses his chelek leilam haba, and that the Gemara says that mutav, it would be better a person would throw himself into a furnace of fire than embarrass someone else publicly. And Tosfos in Masechta Sotah comes to the conclusion, he would say there's a din of Yehoreg Val Yavod on that. That if a person is forced to publicly embarrass someone or be shot, he would have to be shot. So we're dealing here with things that people think are small. We see here that we are not placing the proper emphasis on the mitzvahs, on the various mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, so this is sufficient. These are sufficient examples. There are many, many examples. If you want, you look into the Shvorim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chofetz Chaim, Mesillas Yesharim. But this suffices. Now comes a question: why? Why does the Torah consider this Aveira so severe? Especially, this is an Aveira Shein B'Maisa. We know that if you do an Aveira, a physical act, it attracts greater punishment than if it's a non-physical act. Why does the Torah consider it so severe? We could say a reason, which there's truth in, and that is, when it comes to Rechilus, that was again the peddler, the gossip peddler, what is he achieving? What is he causing? He's causing machlekes v'Yisrael. Machlekes, we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like. He doesn't like machlekes. Sonoi ha-machlekes. God la sholom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes sholom. Klal Yisrael is echod. And they're bound to the actus, the unity of Hashem. Someone who comes and makes machlekes in Yisrael, we know that's a terrible, terrible aveira. The Chazal tell us that the Dor HaMabul, during the time of Nayach, there they lost both worlds, the next world and this world. They were wiped off the map. When it came to the Dor HaFloga, the generation that wanted to build a tower and fight with Hashem, there, they lost the next world. But not this world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu let them live in this world. He just scattered them. Why? Because by the Dor HaMabul, they were not good to Hashem and they were not good to each other. They fought with each other. But by the generation of the Tower, there they were very, very good to each other. Fact is, that's why they said, let's all come together. And they all spoke one language and they said, we will unite. Except they wanted to unite against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But because there was Sholem B'nehem, Kodesh Baruch Hu let them live in this world. Fact is, there's a Chazal that says, it builds it on a posuk, that even if Klal Yisrael is Iver Aveir Zorah, commits idolatry, but if there's peace between them, there's camaraderieship, chavashah between them, then the Sultan can't do anything. Once they start to divide, once there's division, once there's splintering, then the Satan comes in. Therefore, we can understand by Rechilus. What about Loshen Hora, though? Loshen Hora is not making machlekes, he's just talking badly against someone. There we can understand also, because what are you doing? What are you damaging? You hit someone, you hurt him physically. But if you speak badly about a person, what do you hit? You're actually hitting his reputation. You're giving him a shem ra. You're giving him a bad name. And our Chazal tell us that shem tov elau kulano. The greatest attribute that a person has is his good name. You hit someone physically, you don't kill his name. You say Loshen Hara against someone, there you're going at a Shem Tov, at his reputation. And it states, Keser Shem Tov Ol Al Gabehen. A person has nothing greater than the honor of a good name. And that lasts forever, even after he is not on this world physically anymore. So these could be reasons why these Averas are so severe. But This doesn't suffice. Why? Because the Mishnah and the Erechin and the Abtes Vov, it brings proof that Chomora Eise Befiv Mina Maisa, that when you do something with your mouth, with speech, with your tongue, that's more severe as if you did it with your hand. According to what we're saying, it's not because you did it with your tongue or you did it with your hand. What's the difference? It's because you're causing machlekes, you're breaking the unity of Klal Yisrael, or you're destroying someone's name. It has nothing to do with whether you did it with your tongue or you did it with your hand. And the Mishnah insists, Chomor ha'esem mipiv yesem min ha'maisa. The tongue is more severe. Another question, according to what we're saying, so we should say that when you destroy a person's name, it's like Shfichas Domim, it's like killing them. You make Machlekes b'Yisrael, it's a terrible thing. But what is this business that the Gemara says, and the Rambam quoted it, the Gemara says it, Shokul keneged gil avedizor gil lais v'shichas domim. When you speak Loshon Hara, it all encompasses idolatry, murder, and incest and adultery. Why? So therefore, what we're saying is very, very true, but it doesn't suffice. So what then is the reason? The Maral says as follows. No, he says what these sages mean, Chomer Eise Befiv Min HaMaisa, that what you do with your tongue is more serious than what you would do with your fist. That's exactly what they mean. Because if we take Aveda Zora, idolatry, atheism, denial of Hashem, whatever, that is known as a chait, an Aveda of the seichel of the Mayach. That's the mind. Even though a person might come to bow to an idol, but why? Because it's a philosophy, it's an ideology, it's an intellectual belief. Therefore, the source is in the mind. So that's an aveira of the mind. When it comes to murder, that, the sages tell us, is an aveira of the heart. Why in a heart? You shot a bullet to you. Stabbed someone. Why is that of the heart? Now that's just a manifestation of it. Why are you killing someone? Killing someone because of hatred, because of revenge, because of anger, because of jealousy. This is what drives people to murder. And that's from the heart. All of those emotions come from the heart. So that's an aveira of the heart. The rest is just a manifestation of it. When it comes to incest and adultery, that, the sages tell us, is an aveira of the physical man. What do we mean physical man? Of the earthliness in man. That, the sages say, is animalistic. He is allowing his earthly instincts, instead of uplifting them and elevating them and making them sacred, sanctifying them, he's letting them drive himself into the ground to be at the level of an animal. Just like an animal is driven purely by physical instincts. That's why he's an animal. For an animal, it's all right, but not for a man. And this is incest or adultery and so forth. So therefore, that's the aveira of the goof, of the body, of the earthliness in man. Therefore, even if we take the three most severe aveiras in the Torah, man commits those Averus with one area of the human being. It's from his mind, his heart, or earthliness of his body. What is the Dibur? I have an interesting Targum. In the Torah it states, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, this is in Bereshis Beis, Posuk Zayin. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'odom ofer min ha'adoma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed man from the dust of the earth. Now this is the guf, the physical man, the earthliness man. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chaim. And from the other aspect, he blew into his nostrils a living soul. This was the heavenliness that was coming into man. Man was made from both worlds, from the earth and from the heavens. But what came out of this? Vayodam nefesh chaya. What was the end product? A nefesh chaya. A living nefesh. What is a nefesh chaya? The Targum says, Pahavas po'odom leruach memallo, a speaker. Came out of this a speaker. A medaber. And the sages, whenever they refer to man, the supremacy of man, they refer to the medaber. For example, there's the domem. The domem is the earth. There's a tzemeach. That's something which grows, plant life. There's the chai, something which lives, which is the animal life. Then there's man, he's the medaber, the speaker. This was the nefesh chaya. And the sages say the power of dibur was given to no other creature except man. Now, where is this power coming from? Does it come from the mind? Does it come from the emotions, the heart? Does it come from the physical man? I've asked that question to scientists, to doctors, specialists. They told me, you can't tell. It can come from all three. There are people that have speech defects. Could be physical. A speech defect could be emotional. A speech defect could be mental. Sages say, it comes from every part of man. All of the energies and the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man go into his dibur, into his talk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man min ha'od es ha'odom ofer min ha'adoma, from the dust of the earth. So in here he put in to him all of the earthly qualities. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chaim. Then he blew into his nostrils a living soul, put into him all of the heavenly qualities. What was the end product? Vayodam la nefesh chaya, became a nefesh chaya. But what is a nefesh chaya? Targum says a speaker. This was the shlemos, the perfection of man. When we say talk is cheap, there can be no greater error. Talk is very expensive. Only creature on earth. You've got millions of creatures that breathe, millions of creatures that walk, billions of creatures that can move, millions of creatures that even have some intelligence. But not one of them can talk. To think, to reduce a thought into a word, and then to formulate that word, and then to communicate that word to another party, that's dibur. That's all of man. Therefore, the Maral says we understand what the Chazal is telling us. Chomora aisa bepiv yaisa min amaisa. Someone who does something with his mouth is far greater than if he did it with an act. A mute person can also do an act. An unintelligent person, an idiot, can also do an act. But to speak, that you need kol ha'odom. And therefore, if it's a dibur tov, a good speech, good word, you'll have the greatest rewards from it. Like the Vilna Gaon says, you speak in Torah, we should be dibur tovim. Every word will bring worlds to you. But if it's a dibur ra, a bad word, there'll be nothing worse. Mali laharech al zeho oven mikomor mikola averes. God says, what do I have to elaborate on this avera, which is more severe than all of the other averas of the Torah? That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. Because all of man is going into that. And now we'll go back. It's true what we said, but now it's magnified thousands of times. You make machlekes, which is hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it destroys Klal Yisrael. But with dibur yet, with your speech, or you destroy someone's reputation with dibur yet, kol ha'odom. You know, you hear constantly conversations come out that people, both small and big people, want to say, why do we have so much source? This happens, and that happens, and this happens, and that happens. What's causing it? And they come up with different ideas. I don't know why you have to look for different ideas than from what the Chazal tell us themselves. Chazal say so. It says that we're in Golus from the second Churban of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And it says the second Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed because of Avedis or of idolatry. Or because of Gilar Ais, because of incense, incest or adultery or promiscuity. It wasn't destroyed because of that, even though there's a terrible Avedis. Or because of bloodshed by Israel. It was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam that was brought about by Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara, speaking one against the other and inciting machlekes, division, and factionalization. And the Mesillas Yeshorim, Rabbeinu Yena, they all say that, and because that is still amongst us, that's why we're still in Golus. If this was all rectified, then we'd have a question, why is all the tzoras coming upon us? And we'd have to look for new things. But what do we have to look for new things for? The Loshon Hara, the hatred, the division has never been worse in Israel, maybe in history. So what do we have to look for new things for? Now, with this, the Maral explains why Shokol, that from here we learn that the Gemara says, because the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of those three Averas, and we went into Golos only 70 years. And now we're still in Golos after 2,000 years. So we learn that Shokol Loshon Hara Keneged Gimel Chamuris. That Loshon Hara equals the three cardinal Averas. What does it mean? It equals, it encompasses. Because those three Averas actually, it is written that each of those three, of the three Averas, that's a Rosh Avera. That's the head of a category of Averas. And those three encompass all of the Averas in the Torah. But the worst of each category are those three. But one was committed only with the mind. And the other was committed basically with the heart. The third was committed with the body. Lashon Hara encompasses all three. Because when man speaks Lashon Hara, he's doing evil with all of his faculties. This is what it means. It equals all three. And then the Maral goes to a step further, which we have to realize. And that is another place he writes. The Gemara says that if a person is what is known as Ra L'Shamayim, for example, an idolater is evil to heaven. He could be a very, very good citizen amongst people, but he's evil to Hashem. Then there's what is known, and in all of these other Averas are like that. It's Ra L'Shamayim, but not L'Chaveri. Then there's what is known as a Ra L'Chaveri, as a person who's evil to his friends. He could be very good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He believes in Hashem. He davens. He keeps kosher. But he's cruel to other people. He won't give tzedakah. He doesn't give good deals in business and so forth. And that, the Gemara says, that's Ra L'Briyos. That's a person who's evil to others. The Maral asked the question, what about Gilei Arayos? All right, this is Aveda Zora, and this is Shfichas Domim. One is the idolater, and one is the murderer. What about the one who is an adulterer, or the incest, the promiscuity? He says, that's a Ra L'Atzmai. That's he's destroying himself. Now there's one is destroying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can. It states Hashem says, by Amalek, as long as Amalek is here, my throne is destroyed. My name is destroyed. You can destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. You can't destroy his presence in another world, but you can destroy his presence in this world. So therefore, that one is destructive to Hashem. Another one, who the murderer or who is cruel or whatever is not good to people, that's he's destructive to the Briyas, to the other people. But he says the Megala Arai is the one who is immoral. He's self destructive. That destroys he himself. Now, if we take this into consideration, Lashon Hara encompasses all three. And every Avera is self-destructive also. So when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's destroying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechin in this world. He's destroying his friends. And he's destroying himself. This is Lashon Hara. This is why he's known as the ultimate of evil. And this was the Nochash HaKadmeini. This was the serpent. And forever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the serpent, that everyone will know you're evil. He will make a pact forever that you will be the hated, most hated creature between man and you, and even animals. You'll go into the game reserves. You'll see great herds of buffalo, of antelope, buck, whatnot, elephants. You won't see great herds and mixed herds. You come to a water hole, many of them are all mixed. You won't see a serpent there drinking together with them. The fact is, you won't even see great herds of serpents, but you won't see serpents amongst them. They are hated by all. Why? He's the ultimate of evil. And evil has no place in this world. This is the Baal Lashon Hara. Now, most people are cognizant of that you're not supposed to speak badly about someone else. That is innate by most people. But with Chilus, the gossiper, the peddler, if it's not bad about someone, most people feel it's not such an avera. Let's spend a few minutes speaking about that. The word Rashi brings in Parshas Kedoshim, Leseleich Rochel, Be'amecho, Rashi bothers Rashi, what's that word Rochel? As we mentioned, Rochel is also used for a merchant who sells, who buys and sells. She says, Rochel, the Chof, in the Hebrew language, the Chof and the Gimel are interchangeable. She says, this is actually the same word as Rogil, Meragil. The Meragil is the spy. So we find that it's a spy, it's a salesman, and it has to do here with the gossipers, with the peddlers. How does this all go together? She says as follows. He says, a merchant has to always move around. That's why he's called a peddler. He's got to be alert. He's got to keep his eyes open for something good to buy and then to resell it. He's buying and selling, he's going around. He says, that's why whenever you see the name Rochel, it says Leich, to go. He's always on the go. There's a moral that writes, Leikol Amar Bebechochma Machkim. Not everybody, excuse me, Leik Kol Amar Bebeschera. Not everybody who is going to do well in merchandising is going to gain Chochma Satora. That's what the Mishnah Novice tells us. So the moral asks, why merchandising? Leikol Amar Bebeschera, Schora. Now, Schora also, Schora comes from the word Sechor. He's called a Socher. We find in the Torah, Schora, Socher means to go around. Actually, Aaron Ziegler told me that in the Targum, in Schor, Schor, it says Mesavev, to go around. Because a merchant has to go around. His business is not just going to come to him. He's got to go to see where the good buys are. He's got to go to the market. He's got to go to the fair. And he's got to go around to his customers. And that's why they call Amarbe Bescheira Machi, because you want to learn, you got to sit in one place. You're going to keep traveling. He's called a traveler. It's going to be difficult to learn. He says the gossiper, this one who by nature likes to bring information that will be hot information. It'll be inflammatory. He goes around. He goes around and keeps his eyes open. What can I see? What can I see in this house? What can I hear from you? What can I see in shul happened this Shabbos or this morning? That I can come and let someone know. And he is, in Yiddish, in English he was called a rabble-rouser. In Yiddish he was called a kochleffel. A kochleffel means that you take the spoon and you stir. He was a stirrer, a kochleffel. Stop being a kochleffel, you would tell someone. It's none of your business. They would take a spoon and they would stir it. You get people that don't want to mind their own business. They want to, what they see and hear, they want to bring to other people, even though it becomes inflammatory. They become rabble-rousers, stirrers. So Rashi says, that's why you always find it leselech. They go, and it's from the word rogel meragel, they spy out, or rochel, and they sell their information. They exchange their information. It's interesting. Now, I was wondering, I thought maybe why is a maragel, a spy, why is he called that? Because also maybe from the word regel, because he has to go. You can't spy out unless you go someplace to. So I asked Aaron Ziegler to look into it for me, and he found in the Radak in the Sharoshim of the Radak, that's what he says. He says he thinks it comes from the word regel, because you have to go. And then, also Aaron showed me an interesting Malbim. The Malbim in the beginning of Shalach states that Hashem said, Shlach lecho anoshim losur es ha'oretz. Send out people, losur, losuru, to, now losur means to spy out the land. And later on, they're called meraglim. What's the difference, losur and meragel? The Malbim says, is that losur is when you go to look for good things in the land. Meragel is when you go to look for the bad things in the land. Like many times they'll send out scouts to find where the weaknesses of the land is, because then we can invade. So it's very good that Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him out Lasur HaSoris to find out the good of Eretz Yisrael. They came back Meraglim. They came back with the rubbish. Now you got people like that. And wherever they'll go, many people will come back and they'll say, oh, it was a wonderful chasana. It was a wonderful function. And this one spoke so well, and this one spoke so well. Got another one will go to the same function. They'll always come back with the rubbish. They'll say, well, this speech was terrible, and you know what he said, and the whole business. This is what we're speaking about. Now, there's a posuk in Mishle. Also, Aaron Ziegler found it for me. The Chofetz Chaim brings it in a number of places. It's in Mishle, Perek Vov, posuk Yutes. But Hashem says, Tessain. It starts with Pasuk Tessain. Shesh heino sone Hashem. V'sheva to avas nafshoi. Mishlevo Pasuk Tessain. He says there are six averas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. But the seventh is abominable mikulam. It's worst of all. And the six are listed out here. Arrogance, inayim romes, sheker, lies, yadayim shefus damnoki, murderers. Six are listed out. The seventh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates more than ever. What is the seventh? The seventh, Meshalech Medonim Bein Achim. He who causes machlekes between brothers. He who causes machlekes between brothers. Meshalech Medonim Bein Ha'achim. And that's the Rechilus. A stirrer causes machlekes between brothers. Chofetz Chaim writes in a place, you've got to be very careful not to take sides. He says, many times in a shul, two people will have a fight. So what do? This one will go to a whole number of people and say, look what that one did, look what that one's saying about me, and so forth and so on. And he'll line up an army. And the other one will do the same. He says many shuls become chorev, which we do. We see many shtiblok started. There are many even shuls that started because they were offshoots from the other one because of machlekes. And that's what Korach did. Had Korach come to Moshe himself, we wouldn't have had to bother with the whole parsha of Kerech Vadosei. Moshe and Korach would have resolved it themselves. Korach was not strong enough to make a mutiny. So it would have been resolved itself. But what did he do? He went and he lined up an army. So I'll say he went the whole day, the whole night, 250 people from the best and others and whatnot. And he got all the rabble-rousers. Who would cause the split? That's why a person, when someone comes to you and he says, you know, so-and-so did a great injustice to me. It was terrible. So you ask him, what do you want me to do? I want you to be on my side. No. You have a problem with so-and-so? Go to the Rav. Why must I get involved? Go to the Rav. Yourself and him. And let no one else get involved. What are you doing? You're containing the Machlekes. Chabad Chaim would write, what happens if there's a fire? So a Shaitz is going to come and he's going to say, liquid is good for a fire. He'll pour oil on it. It's a chokhmah. Blow up the whole place. A chokhmah, what will he do? They'll try to contain the fire. They don't try to make it wider. Well, that's what happens. When Reuven has a fight with Shimon, if everyone else would stay out of it, and you tell him, just go to the Rav and let him resolve it, or go to so-and-so and let him resolve it, go to his father and let him resolve it, and stay out of it, you're containing the Machlekes. And it'll go out. And whole wars have been. So this is the stirrers. Kerach was a stirrer. It says, Kerach Vaadosa, he was, states people who start Machlekes, he's the Aiva the love of Kerach Vaadosa. Why does it say Korach Vaadosa? Kerach and his following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that I hate more than ever. Mishaleach medonim bein achim, those who seed hatred amongst my brothers. Amongst brothers. Now, this is the Rechilus. Now, it's important to know that when we speak about Rechilus, like the Rambam says, it doesn't mean that you're saying something degrading about another person. It doesn't mean that you're saying something negative. It doesn't mean that you're saying something that's not true. It can be all. It's true. The problem is you're seeding machlekes. It's inflammatory. It's insightful. The Rambam said, go see what happened with Dog Adomi. Dog Vaadomi is our classical case. Concisely, in Shmuel Aleph, Perichof Aleph, Shaul, King Saul, wants to kill David HaMelech. He didn't want David HaMelech alive because he wanted his own son to become the heir to the throne. So he didn't want him alive. And therefore he wanted to kill him. And Yonason went and he helped to save David. And he told him what his father wants to do. So David ran for his life. David ran for his life. He had to run so quickly because Shaul was a powerful king. He had armies. He had to run with nothing. No food and no weapons. He came to the city of Nob. That was one of the places where the Mishkan was. In its travels, the Mishkan was there, and it was an Ir Shel Kahanim, a city of Kahanim, and Achimelech was the head. He was the head of the Kahanim. And the Gemara brings that David actually was just about passing out from hunger. He was almost on death rows from hunger. And he comes there, and Achimelech sees David was a very, very, was the heir prince. And he says, what are you doing? You came here, nothing to eat. And where is all of your guard and whatnot? So David didn't want to go into the whole Asik. He just said that the king told him to go immediately on a very important secret mission. And the guards have gone ahead. And he didn't even have time to take any food or weapons. Give me something to eat. Do you have a weapon? All right. So Achimelech gave him to eat. And he gave him a weapon. Actually, he had the weapon. He had the sword of Goliath. He gave it to him, which David had taken away from the giant. And Then David revived himself and he went on his way. There was one person who saw this amongst the people, but one saw it, and that was Doeg HaAdomi. And Doeg HaAdomi was Abir HaRoim. Abir HaRoim means he was the Ab Bezdin. He was in the Sanhedrin, Ab Bezdin. He was a very, very important person. But he had it in for David for a long time. Now, Shaul continued his search for David, and he couldn't find him. And he was becoming very, very agitated. And he started to shout at all of his close circle. And he says, "Has Ben Yishai, David, has he bribed you all? Has he promised you that when I die and he'll become king, he will give you fields and he will give you homes and riches and whatnot? Have you all left my allegiance? Nobody will tell him where he's hiding." And he kept pressing his men. Finally, he broke Doeg. He says, "Vayan Doeg HaAdomi." So Doeg HaAdomi said, "Ro'isi ben Yishai, I saw him. He came to the city of Nov, and Ahimelech gave him to eat, and he gave him the sword of Goliath." Shaul became infuriated, and he sent for Ahimelech, and he sent for all of the Kahanim. They came to him, and he said, "Is this true? This is what you've done." So Ahimelech proudly answered, "Yes." He says, "Who's more honored in your own house than David, who's the heir to the throne?" And he's Hassan HaMelech. He was engaged to Shaul's daughter. I'm very proud of what I did. He came. He had nothing to eat. He was fasting. I helped him out. So Shaul said, "Because you've done this," he says, "you will die, and your whole household will die." So he told his soldiers, "Go and kill them all." In his fury, they won't. They won't. They refuse to obey orders of the king. The Gemara asks, how can they refuse to obey orders of the king? It states, "Lo yamru kol isha she yamru aspicho." Whoever rebels against the king, refuses to obey orders, shall be put to death. So the Rashi brings from the Gemara, rak. No, only if the king tells you something to do that you are allowed in accordance to the Torah. But if the king tells you to be Evan Avera, no, you're not allowed to listen to him. So now no one would do it. Then he pointed the Doeg. He says, "You're the one that told me about this. You do it." And Doeg went and killed him. And they killed the whole city of Nov, all of the Kahanim. And then they went to the city and they killed every man and woman and child, and every animal by the sword. One young man escaped and ran to David. This was the downfall of Doeg, who was a very, very great person. He lost both worlds because of this. And this was one of the great ultimate downfalls. There were two. This was one of them, of Shaul, of King Saul. Now, the Rambam with the Kesed Mishneh, the Chofetz Chaim, say, what can we learn from here in regards to Rechilus? He says, we can learn a lot of things here. Firstly, he says, what Doeg said was not derogatory at all of Ahimelech. He's not saying Ahimelech did a terrible thing. He gave bread, he gave water, and he gave a sword to David, who was the manichbot, who was more honorable than David. So he didn't say loshin hor on him. He said nice things about him. Still, it was rechilus because this was insightful to Shaul. Then Doeg did not certainly know that this would come out. You cannot say that he realized this was going to happen, that Saul would go into such a frenzy. Still, he was held guilty for it. And everything that Doeg said was 100% true. And still, he was held guilty for it. And we could say, I mean, Doeg could claim, how am I know that the king is going to go, is going to go wild? He's going to go out of his mind. I'm to suspect that. Yet, he lost his both worlds because of this. And further, you cannot say he expected Saul to break the mitzvahs of the Torah. And we find he did break the mitzvahs of the Torah because it was his justification that the others refused to listen to him. And b'chol zeh, he was not saved from the Avera of Rechilus and lost both worlds. The Chofetz Chaim extracts further from this. What happens if you come home one day, let's say you come home from shul, someone said something about someone in your household, and this person asks you, what did that one say? And you say, look, I'm not telling you. Or you lie, you say nothing. But he keeps pushing you. And we know you're not allowed to tell. But what happens if it's your father? Father tells you, you saw so-and-so, what did he say about me? Or what happens if it's your Rebbe? Rebbe tells you, I want you to tell me. I instruct you to tell me. Chofetz Chaim says, from here you see you're not allowed to. Because the king was instructing them. Saul HaMelech was demanding from the people, I want to know who is aiding Dovid HaMelech. Who is hiding him? Who is assisting him? And Doeg was considered guilty because he listened to the king. So he says, even if your father, even if your Rebbe, even if the king of Israel will tell you, they want to hear what someone said about me, and if it's insightful, you say, sorry, I cannot say. That's one case. Another case is the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Gemara brings a story. Yossi v'Reb Yehuda, v'Reb Yaisi, v'Reb Shimon. Three of the Tanoim were sitting together during the time of the Roman occupation after the Churban HaBayis. These were from the Talmidim of Reb Akiva. There was Reb Yehuda, Reb Yaisi, and Reb Shimon ben Yochai. That was the great Reb Shimon ben Yochai who later was to write the Zohar HaKodesh. And together with them was another person by the name of Yehuda ben Gerim. And Taisus brings that he was also a great Tana, Yehuda ben Gerim. All right. Posach Reb Yehuda, Ve'omar kama noim asein shel umazu. Reb Yehuda started the conversation by saying, this nation is not so bad. After all, look what they've achieved, the Romans. Tiknu shvokim. Look at the great marketplaces, shopping centers and marketplaces they've made. And the great places of amusement. Tiknu gishorim, look at the wonderful bridges they've built. Tiknu mechatzos, look at the exquisite, elegant bathhouses that they were famous for. We know the Romans were great builders. Reb Yaisi Shosak, when they turned to Reb Yaisi, he said no comment. He chooses not to say anything. In other words, I don't agree, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Then Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Kol ma shetignu leitignu l'tzorach atzmon. Whatever they've done only for their own greed. Tignu shvokim l'eishiv ben zeynes. They made these beautiful malls and shops and everything that's only for entertainment, for their promiscuity. They made these beautiful bathhouses only for their own indulgence and their own excess luxuries. Gishorim, they made bridges, pay highways, little ben meches, so they can collect more taxes. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim, this was the conversation at the table. So, Rabbi Yehuda spoke praiseworthy. Rabbi Yossi kept quiet. Rabbi Shimon Yochai criticized. Yehuda ben Gerim, the fourth one that was there, he went home. Rashi says he went home and he sat and talked over the dinner table with his wife and children, and they asked him what's new, and he told over the conversation. He says, an interesting conversation. Great Chachomim speaking, we can learn from them. So he told over the conversation, very innocently, and even, look, it was Divrei Teira, we can learn from them. Siba Divreihem. Nisgalgal Adover, as it happened, his wife or one of the kids told it over to someone else. So it went from one person to another until it reached the ears of the government, of the Roman government. And the Roman government called them in. And they had a whole trial. And they said, Yehuda She'ila Yisal, Yehuda that spoke praiseworthy of us, we have to promote him. We have to give him an honor. Yossi She'sosak, Yossi that kept quiet, Yigle Litzipori, let him go to Golos, exile, but not out of Eretz Yisrael, to another city. Shimon Shegino, Shimon Yochoi that spoke, criticized us, Yehoreg, let him be killed. So Reb Shimon Yochoi and his son had to flee, and first they concealed themselves in the Beis HaMedrash. That got too dangerous, that's when they went into the cave. And they had to stay. They had to stay 12 years in the cave. They stayed 12 years in the cave, and that's where they learned together. Every day they learned the whole day. And after 12 years they finally came out. Well, the Gemara goes through a whole story. And then the story ends that Reb Shimon Yochai was walking along in the marketplace, and who does he bump into? None other than Reb Yehuda ben Gerim, the one that had told this over. He says, "Adain yesh lezeh ba'ilam? Is this person still around?" Nosan be'inov, he stared at him with such anger. Asur gal shel tzomes, person dropped dead. This is the story. Now, the Chofetz Chaim extracts from this. He says, what do we see from this? He says, firstly, this Reb Yehuda ben Gerim, the one that spoke this, this was Rechilus. He says, he didn't say any lies. He said exactly the emes. And not only that, he said it innocently. And not only that, but he told it over to people that it weren't in sight, told it over to his wife and kids. So he didn't go to tell the Roman government. So it weren't in sight then. And he actually even told it over probably with admiration. He says, Reb Shimon Yochai got up and he said, so with admiration. And so this is even less. Doeg knew that Shaul was an enemy of David. But here, perfectly innocent. And this is why the Rambam says, the Kesef Mishnah Chofetz Chaim write. Because the Rambam says that if you will say something, if you will reveal something, which can become an indirect cause which can be mazik someone, damage someone, that's rechilas, and you are responsible for it. And then the Chofetz Chaim brings, interesting what we're learning now in Baba Basra, he says, I groma ben izokin is potter, it's just a groma, it's just an indirect cause. It's potter, but it's also minatora, you're not allowed to do it. And Shemaim will hold you responsible. And he brings this from Rabbeinu Yonah. So what do we see all from this? We see how not only you're not allowed to go and carry information one from the other that will incite and inflame angers, but even to people that have nothing to do with it and it will not be inflammatory, you have to be very, very careful, because maybe it'll go one to the other and it can create a churban. Here, these words that Rav Shimon and Yochai said over were meant only for the ears of those sitting here, not for anyone else, because they're highly dangerous words. And it made him become a fugitive for 12 years in a cave. He almost got killed. Then one final case we'll mention. This is a Gemara, a Mishnah Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, it says in Daf Choftes, the Mishnah says that when two litigants come before you, and they come to the three judges, and the three judges have a split decision, some of them will say guilty, Reuven's guilty, others will say, Reuven is the one that owes the money, and others will say Shimon. You go after the majority of the decisions. Now, how do you give over the verdict? You call them in, and they say, Pleni ato zakai, ish pleni ato zakai, ish pleni ato chayev. When they give over the verdict, they have to say, Reuven, you are the guilty party, Shimon, you are the innocent party. L'kshiyetze, l'yemar ani mezake v'chabaray mechayovim, aval ma'asi shechvay robo alze, olai. Once they go out, the judges are not allowed to tell anyone, really, I held that in Reuven's favor. But what could I do? The majority was against me. Or vice versa. Not allowed to. Why? Because this is Rechilus. Because Reuven will be very happy, but now Shimon will be upset with that judge because he really held against him. Many times you want to say that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you lost the case. I didn't want to see you lose the case. And really, I voted in your favor, but the majority was against me. So this is very good for me, because now Reuven won't be angry at me. This you're not allowed to say, because it's rechilus. Because now he will be angry now at the other judges. Oh, it was the other judges that were against me, or whatever that can come out from there. And the Mishnah says, and on that it says, Leiselech Rochel Ba'amcha, Holech Rochel Megalis Sod. You're not allowed to. A gossiper and a peddler reveal secrets. You're not allowed to be a gossiper and peddler in your nation. Now the Gemara goes into this further. And the Gemara says that if you write it down, how will you write it down? The judgment. You cannot write. The Gemara and Daf Lamed and later. It says you cannot write which judges were for you and which judges were against you for that reason. And the Gemara says, so how should we do it? So finally the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the way you have to write it down, or the way you have to tell them, is midivrehem nizdake pleni. That from our total judgment, so-and-so is the guilty party, or so-and-so is the innocent party. In other words, not to indicate who was for who. The Gemara brings in Lamed Aleph, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Minayin l'kshiyetze l'yema harene mezake v'chaveirai mechayobin. How do we know that when you go out of Beis Din, the judge shouldn't say that I was for you, but the rest were against, were not, and therefore I couldn't overrule them? It says, L'sheilich rochel ba'amecha, and holich rochel megalesod. You're not allowed to reveal secrets that were inflammatory. This is very important for committees. In committees today, you'll have all kind of discussions and decisions, and many times one will come out of the committee later on, and he'll tell the he'll tell that person, you know, I voted for you, but the rest were against you. Now the Gemara says, Ahu talmido. There was a Talmud that it was later found out that he, after 22 years, he revealed a decision that was made in the Beis HaMedrash, which was this type of decision. After 22 years, Afkei Rav Ami Mimeid Bidrosha. Rav Ami told him, you must leave my Beis HaMedrash, and he will never allow him back. Omar Dein Goli Raja. He says, you are a Megalesod. You reveal secrets. I don't want you in my Beis HaMedrash. The Rambam brings as follows. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin in Perichov Beis. A dayan is not allowed to tell any of the litigants or anybody that he was for this one or he was against this one. But he couldn't do anything because the rest were against him. You see, if it's unanimous, so then they know who. Everybody was for that person. If it was a split decision, they know the majority was for that person and against the other person, but he is not. None of the dayanim are allowed to give any indication as who was for who and who was against. He says, "V'im Omar Kain." Actually, a dayan once told me here. He says, "I hate the job." He says, "Because when the one that you rule against, he becomes your enemy." It's what I need it for. So he says, V'im Omar Kain, and if one does that, Hareu Bechlal Herech Rochel Megalesod, he's the peddler that reveals secrets. Ma'ase B'Talmud Echot, Shehetz Yidvorim, Shenemru Beis HaMedrash Lachashtayim Vesrim Shonim, Veitzu MiBezdin. He brings the case where the Talmud revealed the secret from the Beis HaMedrash of this type, and they threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash, Ve'hichrizu Alav, and they announced in public on him, Ze Megalesotu. He's a person that cannot keep confidence, he cannot keep confidentiality, cannot keep a secret, he does not, but we do not want him here. Shol echon mi balei dinim lichtev lepsak din. What happens if one of the litigants says, write down for me exactly what the judgment was? So how should you write it down? So you write down that the two people came before you, and these were the judges, and now he says he either went out guilty or he went out chayev. Ve'ein maskin in shema mazakin ve'lei shema machayovin. You're not allowed to write down which judges were for him and which judges were against him. Ella, the only thing you can write down is midivrei am nizdake pleni. from the words of all of the judges came out that Reuven is the winning party and Shimon is the losing one. And he says this was the custom of the Anshei Yerushalayim, that when they would have a litigation and when they came to the judgment, they would call in the person, and as all they would say, Reuven, you're innocent. Shimon is the guilty party. They wouldn't give any other indication. Now, here, again we see that they weren't, this is not a case where they were trying to degrade anyone. This is not a case where it was totally true. And nevertheless, if something can bring a split between Midonim Bein Achim, division between brothers, one has to be very, very careful not to reveal it. To keep it to himself and not to tell anyone, even his family. And if the information is leaked out and it causes machlekes, he's held responsible. This is the Isser of Leiselich Rochel. So, this evening, we spoke about Loshon Hara. We spoke about Meitzi Shemara. Meitzi Shemara is when you speak degradingly about someone and it's not true. Loshon Hara is when you speak degradingly about someone and it is true. We spoke about Leiselich Rochel. That's the one who carries information one from the other, even though he's not speaking negatively or degradingly about anyone. But it's inflammatory information and he causes machlekes. And on that, the Rambam says, "Areza machri v'sa'olam." He destroys the world. And then the worst is the Baal Loshon Hara. The Baal Loshon Hara is someone, is people that are so preoccupied with this. It's a sickness where they always are involved in this. Always. This is a sickness. And we'll mavara why this is so severe, because this is, the Mishnah says, Chomer, the tongue is more severe than the act of the person, the physical act, because the dibur encompasses the total person. And therefore what he is affecting is through the entire person that encompasses all of the other averas. And it's destructive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence here, it's destructive to the people, it's destructive to himself. And in the other aspect, Mia Isha Chofetz Chaim, Ayv Yomim Liraistev. He who wants life and he wants to see goodness in his life, then he must use his tongue for good words, for words of chesed, for words of chizuk, encouragement, compliment people, and for words of Torah. Then he'll have all of this reward, just to the contrary, that it will be the greatest brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.